Our text this morning is officially 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and then 9 in the first half of 10. But we'll be touching on a bunch of other scriptures as we go along as well. I mentioned earlier how we're going through the gifts of the Spirit. And we're now looking at the 9 listed manifestation gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, meaning they are visible. They are given by the Holy Spirit to followers of Christ to help build up the body of Christ. And they're not exhaustive, but they are demonstrations of how the Holy Spirit works in the body of Christ. But they can be categorized. And last Sunday, we looked at what we might call gifts reflecting the discernment or the mind of God, discerning gifts like the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Today, we're looking at gifts reflecting the hand of God, His power. That would be gifts of faith. And then, like I mentioned, the gifts of healings and then miraculous powers. And next week, we'll look at the mouth of God, gifts reflecting speech, prophecy, a gift of tongues, and a gift of interpretation of tongues. So that's kind of where we're at. And we can just summarize it by saying the Spirit manifests gifts in discernment, in power, and in speech. So let's hear God's word. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, where Paul writes, "Now to each one," referring to Christians, each believer, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given," and here's the reason, "for the common good." It's not for anything personal to puff ourselves up. It is for the building up of the body of Christ, common good. And then down in verse 9, "to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers." Some years ago now, in the little village of Pamukunta, India, in the Andhra Pradesh state, there was an extended drought, and the village was really suffering from a lack of good water. And so the villagers, being Hindus, were praying out to their Hindu gods, you know, for water, and nothing happened. Government officials came in, drilled wells in several places, and either hit nothing or just brackish water unfit to drink. Now, about that same time, a couple who were native to India, John and Camilla Simon, graduated from India Gospel Outreach. And they came to Pamukunta to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and to build a church there. And as they came and began sharing about Jesus Christ, their words were falling on deaf hearts. They built a little church building there, and as they continued to try to minister, the people kind of resented them because, after all, they were suffering in this drought. And then they began to say, "We think it's your foreign God, this Jesus, that's causing our problem." So John and Camilla did what all believers do. They prayed, "Lord, what do we do? How do we share your good news with them?" Well, the Holy Spirit revealed to Camilla, as she was praying, that right beneath their church building was just a huge storage of pure water. So John gathered the villagers there and the government officials in front of the church, and he said, "Our God, the church, can give you all the water you need if you drill a well right here." And he stood right in front of the church. "You drill a well here, you'll have water." But the people scoffed at him. They said, "What can your foreign God do that our gods can't do?" So a few more wells were drilled by the government officials and didn't receive anything. And finally, in desperation, the government officials came back to John and said, "Now, where did you say we might drill a well?" He stood at that same spot in front of his church. He said, "You drill right here, and God will give you all the water you need." So they drilled, and water gushed out, pure water that flows to this day. Now, out of that episode, many hundreds of people in that village gave their hearts to Jesus Christ, the living water, because they saw then who Christ really was. Now, what happened in that situation that John and Camilla prayed? The Holy Spirit used a couple of manifestation gifts. First was a word of knowledge. to Camilla, that the water, there was water right there. But then notice what John did, and I'm sure she had the same gift, but he had the gift of faith to boldly stand in front of a resistant group of people and without any evidence to anyone there, say, if you drill in this spot, you will have all the water you need. When we talk about the gift of faith, we're not talking about saving faith, which all of us have to have, to put our faith in Christ. We all share that, all believers. But this is a special gift that is given to believers in situations where there are people that have a need and there is confidence given to a believer, God is going to meet that need. It's just a confidence it's going to happen, even though there is no, evidence otherwise. John said, you drill here, you'll have water. It was a gift of faith. We see this in the scripture. And Abraham's a classic example. Genesis 22, finally, the promised child, Isaac, has arrived and he's beginning to grow up. And then God said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Wow. Now, Abraham had waited all those years, and this was the promised son. But Abraham had that gift of faith. Okay, Lord. It says in the scripture, he believed God could even raise him from the dead if he had to. We know the story. Abraham was about ready to obey God. God stopped him and said, no, Abraham, you don't sacrifice your son. I'll provide the substitute. It kind of foreshadowing even the book of Genesis of what the father would do in giving his son in our behalf, Jesus going to the cross. But the father said to Abraham, I see your faith. That was a gift of faith. We see it in the New Testament. For example, in Jesus, as he walked this earth, he had total faith in his father, what the father said. A great example is in Mark chapter 5. Jesus is in this village and synagogue ruler Jairus comes up to Jesus. He says, my daughter is sick. Can you please come? Jairus knew that Jesus had been healing people. So Jesus starts on his way, but he gets interrupted. This woman who has had an issue of blood for 12 years and no one could heal her interrupts the parade there and touches the hem of Jesus' garment and she's healed like that. And so Jesus stops for that ministry. And then let's pick up the story here. Mark chapter 5. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, and this is to the incident with the woman, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. He was imparting to that synagogue ruler the gift of faith. Just believe. So they continued on to the Jairus' house. When they got there, mourners were already there because the daughter had died. And they're wailing and everything. And Jesus said to them, the girl is not dead, she's asleep. And they laughed at him. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. So he put them all out. Now, there's no indication at all in this story that the father, Jairus, ever doubted Jesus. He didn't join the scorners. He just went with Jesus, believing the gift of faith. And Jesus restored his daughter back to life. The gift of faith. It's a supernatural gift that the Holy Spirit gives when we can just stand on the Word of God when all the evidence says otherwise. Well, then we go to the gifts of healings. Like I said, that both terms are plural, reflecting many forms of healing that the Spirit may do in the name of Jesus. Back in February, we have our river service, like I mentioned, every other month. At the February river service, there was a group that had come from another congregation that knew about our service. They came, and there was about 10 of them. They were at a point of transition in their church. They had a pastor-seeking committee. They'd been through some kind of tough times. And towards the end of the service, a group of us here, we gathered around them. We prayed for this group. We prayed for their church and prayed for God's grace there in that church and for guidance. And when when we were done praying, there was a couple here. I'll call them Doug and Crystal. And Doug spoke up at that time. He said, "But you know, would it be okay if you prayed for Crystal? Because she was diagnosed recently with melanoma, a mole on her ankle." I want to pick up here with an email that Crystal subsequently wrote after that evening. She said, "After prayer for our church, Doug asked for prayer for me. I had just been diagnosed with melanoma. One of the women from their prayer team," that's actually one of the persons here in our church, "asked if she could see it on my ankle and asked if she could touch it. It had really been red and swollen for 2 weeks after the biopsy, so I was surprised she asked to touch it. She then anointed the spot with oil and placed her fingers on it. She and many others then prayed. I couldn't help tears from streaming down my face. While we live in a sinful world and our bodies are slowly falling prey to age and disease, I realize that God does allow Satan to cause some of these things to bring God glory. The next morning, my sore was flat and with just a scab on it. Did God heal me? I talked to my surgeon a few days later and told him about the prayer I had received. I asked if he believed in God and if he'd ever seen melanoma just go away. He said he was a recovering Catholic." I'm not sure quite what that is, but anyway, I'm reading her email. "A recovering Catholic, and no, he had never seen melanoma just go away. We are going ahead with the surgery later this month and are praying that the biopsy and what he removes comes back completely clear and healed. Either way, I trust God." Now, there's faith. Either way, I trust God. "The word that I..." And then I want to add this part that she wrote. "The word that I would use for the service," referring to the river service, "is safe. That was the overwhelming feeling that I had the whole time." Now, remember, this is someone who wasn't a part of the church. He'd come from elsewhere. I want to emphasize this because when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, it is followed by 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. Our ministry in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, for whatever, whether it's physical, emotional, however we're praying for people, always needs to be done in the foundation of love. Love, the love that God has for us, the love that we have for others. And so that is, whether we're at the river service or a morning service like this, that we want this to be a safe place. We are not here because we have our act together. We're here because the Lord Jesus has His act together. We are simply His children, and we trust Him. And we are here free to make mistakes, here to acknowledge our blemishes and our sins, because, you know, that's the Lord who heals us. And so that's, we want this safe place. And I'm very thankful that she acknowledged that, because that's what we want this to be, a safe place for us to grow and be healed. Well, here's part two. So it's a month later, and then she gives this follow-up. "My prayer last month was that the biopsy on what the surgeon removed would come back completely clear and healed. That's exactly what happened. I am grateful and thankful to God that He answered yes to this. Was it a miracle? More than once, the surgeon said, 'I can't say that prayer didn't work for you.' Remember the prayer that I received at the river service on my nasty-looking ankle after the first biopsy? Then the next day it was flat and normal. The biopsy report on that ankle said, 'Our ankle, right ankle, margin involved prior to re-excision. Melanoma extended to the edges, and after second biopsy, no melanoma indicated on whole sample. The pathologist and surgeon gave possible explanations for this, but it looks like a miracle to me." And then she adds this, and this is a note of realism. "While God doesn't always heal physically, He does heal and protect believers spiritually. The most amazing miracle is how He weaves through our lives, speaking to us from His Word and through His people, in His timing, in His way, for the purpose of bringing glory to Him." Amen. God is healing people today in so many ways. And we see this in Scripture. In the Old Testament, here was a Syrian army general who got leprosy, Naaman. And he finally, in desperation, went to Elisha the prophet. And Elisha says, "Go dump yourself 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be healed." There was a whole story behind that. He finally does it and he's healed. And of course, in Jesus, we see healing ministry going all over the place. But I want to read something about Jesus. I want to read a verse from Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. It's kind of a summary type verse. It says, "News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them." Notice gifts of healings. There were all sorts of different types of illnesses and demonization. He healed them all. Jesus was concerned for the whole person. For example, a well-known story is when four friends brought a paralytic to Jesus. They couldn't get to him because of the crowd in the house, so they ripped a hole in the roof, lowered the paralytic down before Jesus. And the first healing was spiritual. Jesus saw that this man needed to be made right with God. So he said, "My son, your sins are forgiven you." That's spiritual healing. But then the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they scoffed. "Who's this guy that forgives sins?" Not acknowledging or believing that he is from God. So Jesus said, "To show you that I have authority to forgive sins." Then he spoke to the man. He said, "Take up your mat and go home." And the man was instantly healed. So Jesus was concerned about the spiritual state. Now, I mentioned earlier about Jesus' moving to Jairus' house and interrupted by this woman who had the 12-year flow of blood. The healing there was first physical. She touched the hem of his garment and she was instantly healed. Physical healing. And from her perspective, she was ready to call it quits. Finally, the bleeding stopped. I'm healed. She was ready to slink back home. But Jesus was concerned for her whole healing, not just physically. She had been exiled from the community for 12 years, ritually unclean. She also believed that she wasn't worthy of the Father's love. Why would he care for me? I'm just a nobody. And so Jesus called her out, not to embarrass her. He said, "Somebody touch me." He waited and waited. Finally, she confessed. I mean, this was a scary thing for her. And then he restored her to the community. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." He was saying to the community, "Listen, she's clean. She's a part of you. Accept her." But he was also saying, "Daughter, you know, God cares for you." He was restoring her hope and love of God. That's whole healing, gifts of healings. Well, then we come to the gift of miraculous powers. We find this, probably the outstanding example in the Old Testament is the parting of the Red Sea. The Israelites are trapped. And then the Lord parted the Red Sea. They wandered through it safely. Then here came the Egyptian army to bring them back to Egypt, and the waters closed on them. This incredible miracle is repeated again and again in the Old Testament. That was just kind of for Israel. Wow, look what God did. We see many, many wonderful signs and miraculous powers throughout the Bible. Jesus, feeding of the 5,000. Few loaves of bread, few fish. And the disciples says, "What are these among all this crowd?" Jesus says, that's enough. Gave thanks to the Father, broke it. They took up more food than they started with after all the people were fed. And we find it didn't stop with Jesus. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen, who became the first Christian martyr. But listen to what this says about Stephen in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, about how he was well known among the disciples there. "Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people." And signs continue today. Miraculous works of the Spirit of God. You know, if you, any believers anywhere, here or around the world, may be used by the Spirit in any of these manifested gifts. And we've seen them. I just shared one about at the river service. And yet where we also find the highest concentration of miraculous gifts and gifts of healings are on the front lines of where the gospel is penetrating unreached people groups. It's also where you find the biggest concentration of persecution. But those people are knowing the power of Christ, and you just see miracle after miracle. It's awesome. It's amazing. But I want us to remember the greatest miracle of all, because most of us here have experienced this miracle. And that's the miracle of new birth in Christ. The Bible tells us that humanity, that all of us have sinned, not just that we have sinned, but that we were dead in our sins, spiritually dead. In other words, you know, dead people can't make themselves alive. We cannot save ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't earn enough brownie points with God to say, okay, I hope that you will save me. We can't, because of our sin. But we are made alive in Christ. It is a miracle of rebirth, a conviction of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that draws us to put our faith in Jesus. That is a miracle. And we can testify it in our lives. Many of you know the story of the late Charles Colson. Here was a guy who was one of the Watergate conspirators. And he infamously said, I will walk over my own grandmother to get Richard Nixon reelected. I mean, that's the kind of cutthroat that he was. Then he was confronted by Jesus Christ, and he gave his life to Christ. And the man, you know, had a complete transformation to where he became a great advocate. Having spent some time in prison, he then was led by the Lord to start prison fellowship and has brought a ministry that's brought the gospel, a new life, to just thousands and thousands of prisoners around the world. But Colson was just a transformed man. That's a miracle. And it's the miracle God is working, continuing to work in our lives. I want us to think for a moment about that. This is Father's Day. And we have a loving Heavenly Father. And yet, for many people, this is a very hard concept. You have to think of God the Father as a God of love. And it's not too hard to understand why. And it's because a couple of pretty clear reasons. First of all, many people have not had a good father figure, earthly father figure. We have this Genesis Project walk this coming Saturday. And talking with the people that work there, probably almost without exception, the women who get caught up in this, deceived by pimps, and then exploited by them, almost inevitably have not had a father in their lives, a healthy male figure. You can go through the crowded prisons of our country, and almost without exception, those who are in there because of crime have not had a father who was there, or a father who cared and instead was abusive. Again and again, stories are told. I mean, statistically, it's just there that fatherlessness or abusive fathers is behind so much of the statistics of the ills of our society. And so even those many people in church, although they've been tasting of the love of Jesus for them, still have a difficult image of God the Father because of the wounds that they themselves have experienced. In Hebrews chapter 11, or chapter 1, verse 3, I want to read what this says about Jesus. The Son, listen to this, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. How do we know the Father's, our Heavenly Father's real heart? We look at Jesus. He's the exact representation of His Father. Most people do not say that Jesus is harsh and abusive, and they say, Jesus is loving, but I have a hard time with God the Father. Well, where do we get the wrong idea? It's not only earthly fathers that have planted this wrong idea. There's an enemy to our souls. He's a liar. Satan is full of lies. Think of that in the very first time we see Satan appear, at the first sin, the fall, in Genesis chapter 3. God had said to Adam and Eve, God had said, you can eat from all the trees in the garden, except this one tree. I have a boundary around it. Everything else is yours to eat. Now, that I would call that pretty generous. That's very loving. But when Satan came to Eve, he said, did God say you can't eat from any trees in the garden? He makes it sound like God is a killjoy. God is against us. And that is the lie he's put over humanity. To make humanity think, oh, I'm afraid of God. He's against me. And yet, God the Father so loved the world that he gave his son. He didn't have to. He suffered for giving his son, who himself suffered in obedience to his father, to die on the cross so that we might be forgiven and restored. I read yesterday, this came to me as we had this Reignite gathering up at Capitol Hill Presbytery Church with the kind of a PRMI homecoming. And some of you were there. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, listen to how John writes this. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Just chew on that word lavished for a while. That's not a little sprinkling of salt. I mean, this is a waterfall of love. How great is the love the Father's lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That is what the Father has done through Christ. He has made us his children. That is lavishing love. Before the start of the meeting yesterday, it was just kind of a gathering time, and I saw this particular woman. I hadn't seen her for several years. A couple years ago at a Dunamis conference up in Bellingham, this woman had some extensive prayer for healing. We talk about gifts of healings. She had grown up and had a very abusive father, and she had been deeply wounded through that. And I remember I was a part of the prayer team that had prayed for her healing from that. And the Lord had done a remarkable healing and deliverance. So I went up to her and I said, how are things going? And she said, I have some good days and then I have some other days that are harder. You know, it's always a process of growth. And I said, but I'm so glad what the Lord is doing. She said, I am too. After we met for about 5 hours, and afterwards I went up to her again and I could just see she was beaming. I said, the Lord has blessed you today, right? She said, oh, this has been so good, just a refilling. The Father is, our Heavenly Father is one who loves his children. He fills us again and again. That is a miracle. That's a manifestation of the Spirit through Christ our Lord. I know that within a body like this, this many people, there is a whole range of response to our earthly fathers. No earthly father is perfect, but there's a range from those of us who have had very good earthly fathers, we're thankful for that, to those who had no earthly father, or maybe an abusive father, to somewhere in between. But all of us in Christ have a loving Heavenly Father, without exception. And I want to pray right now for us, that as we talk about gifts of healings, one of the healings is the healing of broken hearts and wounded souls. And it might just be a start of a process, but I want to pray for healing of some of those who have wounded hearts from absent fathers or fathers that were not there for them or abusive in some way. There is a kind of a step I want us to take us through. And for some of us, this may not be apply at all because of by God's grace. We didn't get to choose who our fathers are. It's all by God's grace. But I want to just start with praying. If you'd just bow with me in prayer. Holy Spirit, would you come now? This is a sacred moment. We thank you that we are safe here, that this is a sanctuary set apart in order to engage with our living God. And Lord, as you had promised, you are always with us. You are here right now. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray a release of the gifts of healing. And right now, we pray for those who have been wounded and hurt with father wounds, for whom Father's Day can be a difficult day. But we pray that you would transform by your grace. And so right now, Holy Spirit, would you begin massaging wounded hearts with your love, with the affirmation of the Father's lavished love on us through Jesus Christ. We want to pray right now, Father, that you would give grace for us to set aside the lies that we may have held about the nature of God, that he's vindictive, he's judgmental, these lies from the enemy. Give us a grace to say, no, that is a lie. I no longer hold that. And give us the grace to accept the truth that we have a Father in heaven that so loves us that he actually gave his Son, though innocent, to die on the cross on our behalf. So Holy Spirit, come. Reveal the truth. Lord, as you were on the cross, totally innocent and yet unjustly taking our sin upon yourself, you prayed forgiveness for those who were hurting you. Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you now to do a miraculous thing. And for those who have not been able to forgive their fathers, their earthly fathers, for the wounds and hurts that they imparted upon them and have never forgiven them, we pray for grace and power to be able to forgive in our hearts and say, I forgive my dad. Holy Spirit, give the grace to lay the wounds and hurts at the foot of the cross. And if nothing else, begin the process of forgiveness as an act of the will. And we pray your healing balm in its place. Where there is a wound that of that earthly father that wasn't there when I needed him, bring the balm of your grace, Heavenly Father. Where there is a wound from that earthly father that was abusive and spoke harsh words that I would never amount to anything, Holy Spirit, apply the balm of the blood of Christ, the healing touch of the Heavenly Father. And where there, in some cases, were fathers who were physically abusive and brought harm and scars to souls, Holy Spirit, would you bring the balm of the blood of Christ to bring the Father's healing touch and love. Holy Spirit, come. And give grace to forgive, knowing that forgiveness is not condoning, but forgiveness is releasing to you. Thank you, Jesus. And now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give grace for every one of us to embrace the truth of who our Heavenly Father really is. A Father who loves us so deeply, so passionately, as to give us His Son, Jesus Christ, and bring transformation in our lives. What a miracle. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Release the gift of healing, of restoring us to the Father's love. Thank you, Lord. You're a good, good God. Faithful and loving. And that's why we're here. We live in a broken world. We suffer many, many different ways. But you are the one that heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We love you, Lord. Continue your healing work. For some people, this is just a start. A crack in the door, finally sensing the depth of your love, finally tasting that you do care. Like the woman whose blood was finally stopped, the flow of blood, and she finally was aware she was a beloved daughter. Lord, would you continue the process of restoration and healing of us as sons and daughters of our loving Heavenly Father. We also pray your shield of protection now from the enemy's lies. Because as we go forth here standing firm on Christ as Lord and Savior who restores us to the Father's love. The enemy is a liar and will try to speak otherwise, and we say no. Holy Spirit, spread your protection over us. And enable us to continue to grow in your grace so that we also then become ambassadors to share with those around us. There's a good, good God. I know. He's healed me. He's restored me. He's forgiven me. He loves me. And I know that because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, continue to lavish your love upon your children. And we'll give you all the praise now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, Gary?
If you're a father today, you should take care of your children. I love you.
Yeah. He says, if you're a father, tell all your children today that you love them. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
God loves us.
Yeah. You know, there's the Father, our Father in heaven, is a healer. For those of you who maybe this was a beginning of restoration, let me give you a good word of hope. The Father has so much more for you in Christ. The Holy Spirit's going to continue as you just surrender to Him to bring more and more layers of healing. Just one other quickie story. One of the persons who was there yesterday is a person who has first came to a Dunamis conference right here when we were holding it many, many years ago. A woman who had grown up in a satanic family with satanic rituals and all the darkness that you could possibly imagine. Her healing has come layer by layer. A lot of deliverance along the way from demonic oppression. And some of us have been a part of seeing that. To see her yesterday, so filled and overflowing with joy at the life that she now lives in Christ, that is all light, not darkness, and to testify that it was incredible. It's a miracle. But I also just bring this out. It has come layer by layer, step by step, as she's continued to press further into the Father's love through Christ. There's just been more and more light and restoration. And some of the people here who've been known her through the years have been able to testify to that. So the Lord's not done with any of us yet. You know, He's continuing His healing, gracious work. Friends, we've been blessed to be a blessing. We have been called by Jesus Christ, and now we are sent by Jesus Christ. And we've been bathed in the Father's love in order to share the Father's love. We've been called by the Holy Spirit. And now let's go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness to the mighty glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, now and always. Amen.